my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, to be broadcast on February 14th, 2024. Hey, that's Valentine's Day. What about that? On WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, once again missing in action, but then again, she's not feeling so good, so she has kind of what I had last week. So we are very, very kind to pass this on to one another, and that's what happened, and so she's got the little cold, and I got the little cold, but it's getting a whole lot better. That's another story. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, you can leave comments down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Bicycle Talk's a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and you're listening right here on Facebook Live, you certainly can comment right down here below, and or you just send me an email. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. This is more of a shout-out to caution rather than a rant today. Road cyclists, please beware that getting out on the roads after a long winter's nap is somewhat startling to drivers of cars and trucks that have been out there all winter. Remember, they're not used to seeing you guys out there. And so please, please use caution. This is in reference, of course, to last weekend's unseasonable weather that drew a large number of cyclists out on the roadways. As for this week, it looks like winter is back up here in the northeastern corner of Connecticut. But this, of course, and more in the show on a positive side. Did you get out and ride your bike this past weekend? Amazing weather. We hit the 60s on Saturday, I think. 60s, or real close anyway. It was pretty warm. Definitely felt good. Sun was out pretty strong. Felt really good. So that was kind of a cool thing. We don't get that very often in February. What we usually get in February is the snowiest month of the year, which we are about to have exhibited to us this week. So we got a big snow warning coming in our direction for tonight and tomorrow, actually. And they say anywhere from, you know, we have no idea, 5 inches to 11 inches to 14 inches of snow in Connecticut, depending on where you are and depending on what happens with the storm. I just heard a report that said it might start out as rain, which is going to change things a little bit. But anyway, it would be nice to have some snow. It actually would be. I actually enjoy the snow for the times when we get enough to be able to play in it, which is really nice because I do have cross-country skis and snowshoes and, you know, toys for playing in the snow because, you know, it's the thing you do when you live here. So, anyway, let's see, what else do I have here on my positive side? Cycling increases serotonin levels. Well, duh. Of course it does. And I've got a little bit of information here on that. We'll get into that in a little bit in the show. And I also met with event organizer Richard Fries over the weekend to get an update and information on the Natchog Epic Gravel Ride on March 24th. Very exciting. Things are happening there. We'll talk a little bit more about that down in the events column when we get towards the end of the show. And I'll fill you in on how that is filling in very rapidly. And, you know, we'll talk more in a bit. On my listener comments that I had on a show a few weeks ago about mileage versus time, I had a listener that sent back to me and said, loved this discussion. Remember how it was like back in the 70s before bike computers? You guessed the mileage based on the day's route, but you didn't know how long it took. You judged the day's ride based on the how the recovery went. Hours slept, morning heart rate were the best metric. Now I rely on my Garmin, he says. And thanks to you and Chris Carmichael for helping us regain perspective. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm much more of a time on the bike kind of guy. I just think it doesn't end up stressing you out as to I have to get in this many miles by the end of the week kind of thing. And some people get a little weirded out by it. So, I'll relate to it a lot on this show because I think it's important you enjoy riding your bicycle more so than go out to ride your bicycle because you have to get your training in. That just seems a little much to me. Been there, done that. Probably won't ever write the book, but I can talk a lot of stories about it. I can tell you a lot about it. So anyway, let's move on to Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. Yes, you can still ride your bike in the snow. Mm-hmm. And I have a little clip here from Colorado Public Radio, okay? And it talks about here comes the snow and it's cold outside and what can you do? And so I got a little clip here and we're going to talk a little bit more about that right now. We're going to dive right into the show. So let's see here, but that is not the page you are looking for. There we go. So here is how to best ride your best cycle when it's cold outside. These are comments that came from Colorado Public Radio back in 2020, I believe. This particular person was, let's see, who is this that wrote this little story here? So we give them some credit. Ryan Warner. Okay, February 13th of 2020 was when this was put in. And it's a great shot of him riding down a street with a couple of cars behind him, their lights on, the snow is coming down, he's sitting on a mountain bike and he's riding his bike down the street, and wow, pretty cool stuff, huh? So, a brave man rides his bicycle downtown on a snowy day in Denver. Do you love your bike, but you kind of leave it behind in the wintertime, and you're adventuresome. You're the type of guy or gal that gets out and says, you know what, the heck with this. I'm going to go out and ride my bike anyway. I need to maybe put an hour in my bike because I'm quote unquote training, or I need to get somewhere because this is my commuter. This is how I get around. It may be anything. You never know. Everybody's situation is a little different. And what you will see is that Jack Todd, a spokesman for Bicycle Colorado, said the bottom line is to take it slow, give yourself extra time, and be particularly careful at intersections where motorists may not be able to stop. Sort of like driving your car in the snow, isn't it? But I would be extra cautious on the bicycle because people definitely are... they're used to seeing cars. They're not used to seeing bicycles. Back to that original comment that I made earlier in the show. And, letting people know that, hey, I'm out here now and we're back on the roads, that sort of thing. So what this gentleman sees more than anything this time of year is when, with the weather like we've had in the past couple of weeks, it's people in their cars are going later and later through that yellow light because they don't want to slam on the brakes. Going super slow is super important this time of year because that reduces crash severity if anything does happen. You know what? I see that on the dry roads. People are running through yellow caution lights a lot more often than they used to be. I put that into my observation of the fact that aggressive driving has increased dramatically over the last few years. There was supposedly a COVID component to that, and I'm not really, really sure, but hey, Chris, hey, Don, hey, Robert, how are you guys? Nice to see that you're listening in today. So you're going to learn a lot if you get out and ride your bike in the deep snow. It's a little bit tricky. Your bike's going to swim around a little bit. It's going to be the ultimate mountain bike ride is basically what it's going to be. Or, you know, maybe you're riding on a cyclocross bike or something like a gravel bike, and you have the capacity of riding not only on a fairly aggressive tire, but maybe you even have tires that have, you know, some cleats on them, like the studded tires, because they do make them. They're out there. They're totally out there. So tips for when you're riding in the snow and ice. First of all, coast over the ice. Do not brake pedal or turn into it. You're going to go down. It's going to be very quick. You're going to wonder what the heck happened. And then you're going to pick yourself up off the ground and go, oh boy, that was stupid. So ride in a low gear with lower tire pressure than your bike's recommended maximum. Lower your seat so you can move more easily and put your foot down easily. Keep your lights on even in the daylight. I keep my lights on in the daylight anyway. Distribute the weight on your bike, like if you have bike bags or something like that, you're commuting and you're using panniers on your bike, you want to distribute your weight evenly on the bike so that there's nothing tipping you to one side or the other side. And so this particular person normally rides his touring bike with unstudded tires. On road bikes, he advises studded ones. Disc brakes are important too. They'll stop you in any weather. Clothes for the bike, bar mitts. Yeah, big on bar mitts too. I agree with this guy. Bar mitts to your handlebars. They're basically mittens attached directly to your handlebars, and they do make an enormous difference in any other item that I've ever put on my hands while riding my bike, for sure. And clothes, of course, you know, you want to dress in layers. This is not rocket science. We've been doing this for a long time. And I would dress the way you would if you were going to go out and maybe go cross-country skiing or snowshoeing. You want to put your thin layers on underneath. You want to make sure that you're wicking materials are close to your body so that they will pull the moisture away from your body and you won't get so cold. You know, cotton is nice material, but not so nice when you get it wet. So I'm not a big believer in that. I probably would be going towards more synthetic fabrics. And you can also wear, like, you know, snowshoeing pants or rain pants or something like that, and that'll really help out too, because it'll give you a wind barrier also, not to mention a moisture barrier. So those are all things that are really, really good. And finally, this is kind of funny, an irresistible extra idea, a shower cap to put over your helmet. It'll keep the snow and the heat and keep out the snow and keep in the heat. And now, to add to that, there are companies out there that make covers that go over the top of your helmet that are either waterproof, windproof, and or also I've seen some that are Gore-Tex related, so they're actually breathable too. So you still get a little bit of breathability out of them, but you do keep those vents closed on your helmet, which is super helpful, and also keep the moisture off the top of your head, which is nice. And of course, on the top, we're talking balaclavas, we're talking ear protection, we're talking head protection, anything you can to keep your head a little bit warmer, too. So, booties on the bottom, for sure. I will tell you this, I've said it before on this show, I have not yet found a foot solution for riding in the cold weather. I've tried a lot of different things, and everything I seem to try seems to have about a 1 hour window, and after that I am just not interested in being out there anymore, and my feet are certainly not interested in that. So, you know, these are the things you can do if you are going to decide to ride your bicycle in the snow. Is this recommended? Well, not really. I don't really recommend this for the most part, but I do understand that there are people that use their bicycles for transportation, and sometimes a snowy day is a snowy day, and there's no way around it. With the increase of our, actually, I'll say COVID introduced us to the remote working environment, which certainly has made a big, big difference for exposing yourself on a really bad day to really bad weather on your bicycle. But I would also try to exercise that option of video conferencing your work or in some way being able to work out of your home if you are still working and or going to school. It definitely is the obvious safer solution. I used to have a rule when I was a sales rep on the road for the bicycle industry, and it became known within the industry and within the my industry friends as Ron's rule. Well, I have a lot of rules, but anyway, whatever. So Ron's rule was, and it was funny too, because I would get other reps to call me, and they would call on one of these big snow days, and they'd say, "Hey, Ron, where are you?" I'd say, "Well, I'm at home, of course." And I'd say, "Where are you?" And they'd go, "Well, Ron's rule." And Ron's rule is, if you can't make more money that day on the road than the deductible on your insurance policy on your car, then don't go out. Just don't do it. That's silly. Makes no sense whatsoever. So anyway, yeah, Ron's rule. And of course, you know, there's other things that go along with that too. But, you know, it's just common sense. It's really just common sense. And the other thing that I ran into a lot when I was on the road as a road rep in the cycling industry is there would be many times when I had spoken to a dealer a day or two before and said, "Hey, I'm going to be out there on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever at 9 o'clock or at noon or whatever." And I get there and the door was closed because it was a snow day, and they went, "Nope, not going in." Or sometimes they have kids and they stay home because the kids are home. So there's, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it to get out in it if you don't have to. But if you're the adventuresome type and you need your bike to get to wherever you need to go, and hopefully your commute is not very, very long, you can do it. You can definitely do it. Is it safe? No. Is it recommended? Not really. But, you know, sometimes you have that situation, and that's where you're at, and that's what you have to do. So, onward and outward. Here we go. Let's see. What else do we have in the comments here? So, I'm going to go right into the content of the show. I got a little piece from last week, which I never got to, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first thing I'm going to address here, because it is that time of year when sometimes you just go, you know what, I'm not going for a bike ride today, and I need to do something, but I cannot for the life of me force myself to get onto my trainer and or my Zwift or whatever it is. I just can't get my head into it. So what else can you do with your body over the winter time that doesn't involve riding your bike? Good question, right? Because, you know, cycling is a specific sport with kind of puts us in a position that we end up marrying ourselves to, and then we get a little bit tighter and a little bit tighter and a little bit tighter. And I have taken to the yoga mat a lot more this winter and last winter too, but more so this winter. And I'm finding that by spending a little bit more time on the yoga mat and also focusing on hip opening exercises, that sort of thing, because your hips and your hip flexors are where all the problems lie. And that's from sitting. It's from sitting. And what do you do when you're on your bike? You sit. And then what do you do when you're not on your bike? You probably sit. And then what do you do when you go to work? You probably sit. So sitting is, what do they call it? Sitting is the new smoking? Is that somebody said that to me? Or the new drinking or whatever? I mean, really? Sitting? Yeah, sitting. Actually, you need to get out and you need to get up. You need to stretch things out. You really need to focus on it. And the key point that I make with people is stretching properly is more important than stretching poorly. I have corrected a lot this year because I teach a spin slash yoga class on Tuesday evenings up at my local community center, and it's just a half an hour of spinning and a half an hour of yoga, and the yoga I teach is very gentle and it's very beginner oriented, as is the spin class. So I end up attracting people into the spin class that are let's say intimidated by getting on an indoor bicycle in an indoor cycling class, and so they're not going to be the more aggressive folks that I have on my Monday through Friday morning classes, who are a number of them, a large portion of them are outdoor cyclists and they're looking for an indoor solution or, you know, whatever. But this class is definitely geared more around someone who is just going to get a general basic introduction to cycling. And so what I do here is I just really kind of warm them up. We do a little bit of work and then I cool them down and that's it. And that's all you really need to do to someone who has not been on a bicycle for a long time or feels intimidated in any way. So it's, but then when we get down onto the yoga mats, then we have the ability to focus a little bit more on relaxing, and our muscles are already warmed up because we spent a half an hour on the bike. So you've got a little bit of an advantage there where things are going to be a little bit looser anyway because of that, which is, I think it's a nice little class. I do enjoy it. I do enjoy teaching it. I really enjoy taking it, even though I'm teaching it, because I get a lot of benefit out of it. So anyway, so let's talk about, this comes out of Bicycling Magazine from Kira Carter, and she talks about 10 exercises that will rev up your heart and your heart rate and get you sweating, whether you're doing high or low impact moves. But the point here is they're not on the bicycle, but yet they would be perfect for the bicycle because they're going to give you the strength that you need in other areas. The areas we need to focus on a lot of core work here, because core is so incredibly important, especially if you're trying to maintain a position on your bike. So you want to kind of focus on this. And I'm always working on this kind of stuff in the wintertime because I just don't have as much time. I don't make as much time for it in the summertime, only because of the fact that I'd rather just be out riding my bike. So, you know, that's the way it works. So let's start with the simple stuff. All right. Very, very simple. So you mix up a little cardio, you know, you can warm up a little bit on your trainer to get yourself going, for sure. That is definitely a possibility. But you're going to start with some really, really simple stuff. Low impact cardio workout at home. Perform each of these exercises 30 to 60 seconds, 15 seconds of rest in between, and repeat 4 times. An air squat. And what it is basically you take your hands and you put them together and you drop down, you squat down and come back up. I highly recommend this. You know, I also teach a seniors class, and I highly recommend doing this with a wall behind you. So just in case you lose some balance or you lose like the perspective of where you're supposed to be and how your squat is supposed to go up and down, you want to have that wall there as a reference, and you could always fall back on it if you need to, and it'll support you. So that is definitely a first thing you can do, called an air squat. And you stand with your feet wider to your shoulder width apart, toes turned slightly out and hands clasped in front of the chest. And then you send your hips back to drop down to a squat position. And you drive through to the feet to stand back up and keeping your chest lifted without rounding your back, and repeat. That's all there is to it. Super, super simple thing to do. And what does it require for equipment? You. and that's it. So then there's an alternative reverse lunge, and the reverse lunge is when you're stepping back with one foot and keeping the front foot in the same spot, but you switch back and forth from one leg to the other leg. Your hands are clasped in front of your chest, and you step with your left leg straight back and drop down to a lunge position. Both knees are bent at 90 degrees. Really, really important here. You want to make sure you keep that knee behind those toes. Okay? You don't want to be out in front of it. You want to make sure you get that right. And you just go back and forth and you alternate with it. And that's your lunges. Mountain climbers. Mountain climbers are super simple. You put your hands flat down on the mat, okay, and you are simply staring down at the floor with your hand, with your shoulders, your hands are shoulder width apart, and then you just lunge your legs forward one leg at a time, back and forth. So it's like you're climbing a mountain. So you're almost like pedaling your legs through. And by doing this correctly, and once again, keeping your back as flat as possible, you're going to get a lot more work out of your core. And it's different than just sitting there and doing planks, which is not sitting, but anyway, that's another thing you do. Which moves me on to planks, forearm planks. So you drop down onto your floor, onto your mat, and you put your hands flat down so they are basically shoulder width apart. Your elbows are also supported shoulder width. They're supporting the body shoulder width apart. You're elevated up off the mat, and you're staring directly between your hands with your toes extended out in the back, once again, about hip or shoulder width apart, and you just sit and hold it, and you hold on to that position, which activates your core and your glutes, and you keep your back very, very straight. Now, really, really important here, I've read so many things about people doing planks and then getting into plank contests with one another. Don't go there. Don't go there. 1 minute max. That's it. 1 minute max per plank. Take a rest in between and then go again. But no more than 1 minute. There's no point to it after that. There really isn't. It's not going to help you anymore. It's not going to do any more for you. There's so many other things you could be doing with that time that will be just as useful, if not more useful. I really am a strong believer in minimalizing your time in the plank position. They work great when you do them right. If you're not doing them right, then you're probably trying to do them longer, and that's not a good thing. You really want to keep that body as straight as you possibly can. And if you can't understand that or do that, a mirror works, because you can look over at a mirror, but also taking maybe your smartphone and putting the video on and recording what you're doing so that you're so that you have something to reference to and go, oh man, my butt's way up in the air. I'm not really flattening my back out at all. I really need to work on that. Or maybe you're dropping in too much and there's too much of an arch in your back. You want to keep that back super flat. Walking plank is your next one on the list here. Very, very simple, okay? Your plank coming up from the elbows goes up to the hands, up to, so your hands are flat on the mat, and then you drop down to the elbows and then back up. So you're one arm at a time, walk one arm forward down to the elbow, walk the other arm down forward to the elbow, and then one back and one back. So up, and so you're kind of doing a sort of push-up, but not really, and you're giving yourself, once again, extreme core workout. Really, really, really good stuff. So that one I like a lot. I think that one really works well. And so you're starting in that high plank position with your hands directly beneath your shoulders and your glutes engaged, so your body forms straight, a straight line from the head to the heels. And you lower each elbow to the ground, drop to the forearm plank, and then walk each hand back. Simple. Back and forth. Do it for, you know, whatever works for you. Again, I like a minute 60 seconds, super easy. You can set a timer on it. You can have the timer constantly repeat itself, so you get a little alarm with it if you want to. But that's a really, really good way to do it. And again, anything in excess is probably too much. So just take your time with this. My general feeling on plank workouts is that if you're spending any more than, even if you're revolving back and forth doing different things like that, more than 20 minutes is probably too much. So that's, everyone's a little different, but there's no point in killing yourself with it. You actually want to feel like you did something and then feel like you could do it again. That's a much, much better way. Hey, Chris, not stretching. It's your weakness, huh? You know, I'm going to tell you a story as you're listening in on this, because I know you're a pretty fit, high level. I'm going to put you in the high level cyclist category, because I've obviously ridden with you a number of times, and you're a strong guy, and you've got a lot of fitness behind you. And I have a friend who lives out in Michigan, I think is where he lives. He was a Louis Garneau rep when I was a Louis Garneau rep. And this guy, Phil, was his name. And Phil was a very high-level masters bike racer. And he, I'm talking, you know, podium-type guy. On the podium a lot. Did really well. Had a killer sprint at the end of the race. Wasn't a big guy. Not a big guy at all. Actually built more like you and I. So tend to be a little bit more on the slight build. And this guy had a sprint which could just leave you in his dust. And yeah, some of us are gifted with high twitch or slow twitch muscles, depending on which, you never know. But he had a gift for being able to sprint. And he told me that the real reason why he was able to maintain his fitness and his speed was because of this. And he looked right at me, and he dropped down, bending from his pelvis, dropped all the way down onto his hands on the ground with his hands flat on the ground. And once again, bending from the pelvis, not the waist. So it's really, really important you do your stretch properly. I've been really working on correcting that with myself. I cannot do that. I have to leave my knees very bent in order to bring my chest into my quads. But this is what he did. And I looked at him and said, how do you do that? He said, I've been doing this my whole life. And he said, my friends call me Gumby. And that is really how flexible he was. But he said it was his secret weapon to speed, was his flexibility. So, Chris, that's, I'm going to leave you on that note. Not to call you out or anything, but you know what? We all really kind of need to work on it. I know I do. I'm just a train wreck as far as that goes. So here comes another one. So this is a simple cardio workout. You can do this from anywhere to 30 to 60 seconds, all right? And all you're doing is what they call high impact cardio workout, which is called high knees. All right, you start by standing and holding both arms straight out at shoulder height, palms down, and you drive your right knee up to your right palm, and then drop that down, and then immediately drive your left knee to your left palm, and you're almost like big step pedaling through is what you're doing, and you stay light on your toes and on the balls of your feet and continue to alternate. And once again, the comment here is 30 to 60 seconds a set is what you're looking at. How many sets you do is completely up to you, but I can tell you right now, if you keep doing this, you're not going to do a lot of them at first until you get used to it. Alternative jump lunge. This one, I would say only if your knees are happy. And I say that only because I know that a lot of my listeners are older and their knees are unhappy, and that is why they ride their bikes. And so therefore, I don't really recommend this unless you've got really, really strong and healthy knees. And it's called an alternating jump lunge. Okay, so you are lunging back on that one leg, and bringing your knee all the way down onto the floor, onto the mat, and you're standing with your feet hip width apart, stepping left leg back and lowering to a lunge position, both knees bent at 90 degrees, and then you jump off the ground, switching your legs in the air as you lower down to the other side. And you alternate and you pump your arms as you're doing this, and you will be breathing so hard you cannot believe it. It definitely works. My favorite on this list, and something that I have been doing for a number of years, including way back in the bike racing days, and I used to incorporate not only doing this, but also put a weight bar involved with this too, or you can use light dumbbells or something like that, is the good old squat thrust. And the squat thrust was one of those things where we did them in gym class when I was in high school. That was a very long time ago. And basically, it is a very, very simple way, once again, of getting the cardiovascular exercise and also getting a great upper body and lower body workout. So you stand with your feet slightly wider than your shoulder, toes turned slightly outward. You send your hips back and down and to lower into a deep squat, with the chest lifted. You place your hands on the floor between the legs and then shift your weight to your hands, and you jump your feet back behind you to a high plank position. So we're back to that plank, except now you're carrying it through. And then you quickly jump your feet back to your hands, return to a deep squat with your chest lifted, and drive your feet through and back up. So it's called squat thrust. It works great. If you don't know how to do it, I would certainly look on a YouTube video. You'll find that, and it definitely works. And then the old-fashioned push-up. Remember push-ups? Do you still do push-ups? Push-ups are great for you. They really are. They're so hard, and yet they're so good for you. So this is the standard push-up. You can just do those, or if you want to make it a little bit more exciting, a little more helpful to you, you do your push-ups, and when you push yourself up, you take one hand and you drop it back to the opposite knee as you bring that knee forward and alternate back and forth. So those are tough too. And then we can go to, whoops, I just went right by the next one. The next one on the list here is a quadruped hold shoulder tap. So you're basically balancing yourself on your toes. Your knees are off of the mat, okay? And your hands are flat on the mat. And you're simply taking one hand up and tapping over to the opposite shoulder and back and forth. So you're suspending yourself up off the mat by your toes as well as doing that. And the other thing that that does, which is really kind of interesting, and I just have done some research on this recently, is you're really stretching your fascia in your foot, and that has all sorts of great things it does for your entire body, because it sends and communicates to the rest of your body and helps you release more in your body. So anyway, that's it. That's what I got. It's these are exercises that you can do besides being on the bicycle that will help you with your cycling. And this is the time of year to do that. It's early season. Get your body nice and fit and tough so that when you get out and start climbing on those first big hills that are out there or whatever it is, maybe doing your first group ride and you need a little extra zip because you ride with some zippy people, this is a good thing. It's a good thing. It'll help you be a little bit more prepared for that sort of thing. I'm going to move on to the next thing on my list, which was a... this was from last week. I had it on my rant list, and it was I just never got around to it. So I'm going to bring it up this week instead. And that's the thing where, and I know this has happened. If you ride a bicycle and you've ever had encounters with cars, or you've had conversations with people who drive cars who goes, "You cyclists," you know, they identify you, not you in particular, but you as a group of people that they are not real happy with because they drive their cars down the road and they feel that you are in their way. So This same driver of that motorized vehicle will also be the first one to complain about the fact that their road has been taken up by this lovely protected bike lane that was just put in. Or maybe not protected bike lane, but still, there's a bike lane there now, and now they feel like they've lost some of their precious road. So this is not uncommon. It's an education process. Remember, ignorance is curable. Stupidity is unfortunate, but ignorance is truly curable. So the next time a driver complains about bike lanes, and this may even be at, you know, a family picnic or a dinner or something, or, you know, maybe even work, you know, where you're talking about, well, I ride a bike, and they go, oh, you guys on your bikes, you know, you do this, you do that. You know, they immediately accuse you of doing things that you may not do, but you're thrown into a pool here. And unfortunately, you know, we are often compared to others who have done offensive things while being on their bikes. It's common. It's not an unusual situation. So anyway, let's move on to this so I don't run out of time. Next time a driver complains about your bike, about bike lanes, tell them that making streets safer for cyclists makes them safer for everyone. This is something that, you know, it's all part of Ron's vigilante take on the world, teach everybody why bicycles are better than anything else advocacy program that I have. And if you take a look, you know, cities with good bike infrastructure are definitely safer for everyone, including the drivers. A recent study of small and mid-sized cities found that a correlation between large number of cyclists and low crash rates. So if you're driving a car, the last thing you want to do is hit someone on their bike. It even if that is your intention, we hope it's not. We hope it's not. But if it is, you're going to feel pretty bad about it afterwards, whether you have a conscience or not. You're still going to feel terrible about it, especially if you really didn't mean to do it. It's a horrible feeling to have hit somebody, a vulnerable person on a vulnerable user, as we like to call them, on a bicycle, and know that you may have done some extreme damage to them, and unintentionally so. So a survey of cargo bike riders in Germany found that half of them only have one car, and the other half don't have a car because of their household, and that's what they do. They just don't own cars. Transit isn't just for cities. More than 1 million rural American families don't have a car. They deserve access to quality transit too. A few states like Massachusetts and Pennsylvania are ready to pump more money into transit agencies and are facing major shortfalls as the federal COVID funding runs out. Other major systems like Chicago and DC Metro are still looking for a solution. Washington, DC has committed about $200 million to help DC Metro avoid a death spiral. But the combined $480 million in DC, Maryland, and Virginia have promised is well short of the transit agency's $750 million shortfall. So there's a number of proposed routes that are out there, and there's if you are in an area where you have a proposed route in your particular zone where you live, and there are public hearings about it, please show up. Please show up. Please show up. Just please show up. If you show up and you bring all of your cycling friends with you and you go in there with a really positive attitude with solutions, not problems, okay? Never go to a meeting without a solution. If you go to a meeting without a solution, stay home. I'm serious about that, because it's not going to get you anywhere. You want to address problems with answers that are positive, not answers that are negative. If you go in there and all you do is complain about this particular problem and that particular problem, and then you offer no immediate solution, then that's a problem. We had a public meeting a while ago up here in Mansfield, and there's an enormous apartment complex going in north of campus up by UConn, and it's huge. It's absolutely huge. There are no real plans for anything but cars and trucks. In other words, they have built enormous, to go along with these housing units, parking garages to go along with it. So what they're doing is they're accommodating transportation by motorized vehicle and buses. There are buses that will probably be running back and forth, as there usually are around the college campus, but no bike lanes. So a gentleman came in, and he had done a Google search, like a Google Earth search, and looked and noticed that there was land that was behind this that also abutted to an office park that was also behind this. And he came and said he would like to see this addressed, and that, you know, with the onslaught of the number of people that are going to be living in these units, and the fact that they are all designed around getting more kids going to the university, we need to come up with a better alternative. And he noted that through the back part of the property, it would connect over to the office park, which would then come out directly across the street from a north entrance to campus, which has a traffic light. And when you cross that road, which is a major state road, and you go onto the campus road, immediately when you get on the campus road, there is a bike lane on the right-hand side of the road and also on the left-hand side of the road. So it's already been accommodated for on campus, but there's not been a connection of the route. It was a brilliant idea. Why didn't anybody think about it? Well, they will now, because now it's on the list of things that are now proposed and need to get done. The gentleman came to the meeting with a simple solution. He came there with an observation, and he came there with a solution. This is the way you do it. It's the way it happens. It's the way you get things to go forward. And it's the way that you're taken more seriously as far as that goes. And that's a very, very, very important thing. You've got to go there looking like you know what you're talking about and seeming like you know what you're talking about. Hopefully you do, and then that's not really an issue. But a lot of times we go into these meetings and we go in and we're not really paying attention to the fact that we see things in a very different way than the people that we're talking to do. So you have to kind of do that. I made a presentation a number of years ago. I did a presentation in front of the town of Windham, and the opening part of my presentation was very simply, I would like to introduce you to the way I see things. You see things primarily behind the windshield of an automobile. I see things from the handlebar of my bike. Let me explain what I have to offer to you. And I am here to offer you an opportunity to do things in a better way. Simple, right? You're not being offensive. You're not being aggressive. You're being helpful. You're offering positive suggestions. My meeting went really, really well with them. And that's how you do it. That's how you do it. It's all in how you present yourself to the public that you're trying to address. So, let's see. What else do I have here on my list? 5 great reasons to drive less and bike more. So, have you made your 2024 bike plan or your plan to take to the roads for more basic transportation? That's my simple question. So somewhere here I have 5 great reasons, and I lost my page. Here we go. So this comes directly out of the League of American Bicyclists, and it was published last year in 2022. And this is all kind of simple stuff for us, those of us who ride bicycles all the time. Number one, it's fun. I mean, really, you can't beat the feeling you get when you go out and ride your bike. There's nothing quite like it. It feels good. It feels right. You get some fitness out of it. That feels good. Your body's happy with you. That feels good. Your body may not be real happy with you on the saddle if you're brand new at this, but you'll eventually get used to that. So here we go. An actual survey that was conducted by CyclePlan found that 75% of cyclists noticed an improvement in their mental health after getting on the saddle. Well, there's a no-brainer right away. Like I said, if we would make sure that people that were, especially younger people that have some aggression towards who knows what, I have no idea, were given a bicycle instead of a weapon, then the world would be different. But, you know me, I'm like, you know, that's my whole world. My whole world is I can change it if I can just get everyone on a bike. So it's good for the environment. That's another good reason, right? Sure it is. Of course it is. You're not burning fuel from an internal combustion engine. Yes, you are using some petroleum products to keep your bike maintained and working well. But otherwise, no. You're not really expelling a lot of pollutants into the atmosphere, or any pollutants into the atmosphere, other than what comes out of your breath. And that's pretty much it. So, over 30,000, did you know that when over 30,000 people rode more than 1 million miles for transportation during 2021 Drive Less, Bike More Challenge, we reduced the CO2 emissions by 291,430 kilograms. That amount of CO2 is equivalent to 63 cars being driven in 1 year. No-brainer here, folks. Pretty simple. Not rocket science, just science. It's good for your health. Taking your trip to the store to meet up with friends on a bike, it's a great thing. It's good for your health. You get out, you get active. You don't have to go looking all over the place to find a place to park, because it's infinite when you're on a bicycle. That's not a problem. Wouldn't it be nice if it got to the point where when you got to the store or when you got to a community area where you're meeting people, you had a difficult time finding where to put your bike? That, to me, is the perfect world, because that's a simple solution. But anyway, did you know that the Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans recommends that adults should do at least 150 minutes a week of moderate intense aerobic physical activity for at least 75 minutes, or at least 75 minutes a week of vigorous intense aerobic physical activity for substantial health benefits. Bike trips, simple. Many of them are less than 3 miles. It equals about a 20-minute bike ride. If you were able to take 4 bike trips for transportation a week, you'd reach your physical fitness goal without stepping foot in a gym. It's good for your pockets. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper than driving a car. Did you know that current gas prices, a daily commute to work, could save the average American $981.30 per year on gas? And the route building it builds more bicycle-friendly communities. You get to get out and socialize a little bit more within your community. You get to know your neighbors. You get to explain or even show them that, you know, this is a great little solution for getting yourself around, and you get to spread the word and get the activity out there. You know, we're trying to be advocates for the sport that we love, or maybe it's just not even a sport, maybe it's just an activity that we love, but we're just trying to be advocates for it, and that's a really, really good thing. So start logging miles, you know, toward maybe a 2 million bike goal. If you go 2 million mile bike goal, if you go onto the league, you can register for it. There is an actual click point right on there that you can go to, and you can register yourself and your miles, which will help contribute to the statistics that they can then share to politicians, governments, all these places that are not really understanding exactly what it is that we can do by riding our bikes. This is all good stuff. It's all good news. I'm going to start running out of time here. I can see that coming. We are getting very close to the end of our program, so I'm going to go back to my main sheet here. There's more for me to talk about, obviously, in the future. I'll leave you with a few famous bike quotes before I leave, because there's all sorts of great bike quotes. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. Big Al Einstein. Absolutely. Isn't it great? Nothing compares to the simple pleasure of riding a bicycle. John F. Kennedy. Nice, huh? Whenever I see an adult on a bicycle, I do not despair for the future of the human race. H.G. Wells. How about that? There you go. The bicycle is a curious vehicle. Its passenger is its engine. John Howard. John Howard, Race Across America guy. The bicycle is the noblest invention of mankind. And that was William Saroyan. All right. Think of a bicycle as rideable art that can give just about that can just about save the world. That was from Grant Peterson. And he was he does the fancy Randonneur bikes, I believe. Melancholy is incompatible with bicycling. James E. Stores. Don't know who James E. Stores is, but good quote. The bicycle surely should always be the vehicle of novelists and poets. That's from Christopher Morley. We are now, I'm going to give you one more. Riding a bicycle is the closest you can get to flying. Robin Williams. All right, I'm going to move on here because we got to close this show out and move on to our events page. As we go to our events page, we're going to go back to the Fatty Cross in Haddam Neck, which their next race will be on February 25th, put on by Airline Cycles here in East Haddam, Connecticut. East Hampton, Connecticut, excuse me. And then the Frozen Four Training Series, road racing series, comes up in Farmington starting in March 4th, four weekends in a row of controlled bicycle racing in an industrial park. Very cool. The Philly Bike Expo is March 16th through the 17th. The People for Bikes Leadership Conference in Tucson, Arizona is March 26th through the 29th. The MADE event, which is a handmade bike show, will be both in Australia on June 28th to the 29th and also in Portland, Oregon on the 23rd and 25th of August. The Natchog Epic, put on by Domestique Sports. Yes, Sunday, March 24th. Registration is open. Last weekend, I noted that there were 452 people registered. This is a closeout event at 850 riders. Today, it's at 467. Thinking about it? Stop thinking. Sign up. There's an 82-mile ride, a 60-mile ride, a 45-mile ride, and a 32-mile ride. And the 2024 Ride of Silence Connecticut chapter is Wednesday, May 15th, rain or shine, 7 p.m. sharp rollout. Recommended to get there at least a half an hour early to sign in, and that will be at 10 South Eagleville Road in Storrs, Connecticut. Overflow parking will be next door at the E.O. Smith High School parking lot. All cyclists are welcome. It's a 3.5-mile loop through UConn campus, escorted and monitored by the UConn Police Department. Max speed is 10 to 12 miles per hour. Helmets are required, and it is a kid-friendly event. Let's make a statement, folks. It's February, so this is the snowiest month of the year. We may find out about that this next week. Anyone out there ever attempt riding in the snow? Cycling increases your serotonin levels. Jeez, I could have told you that. What's your perspective on improving safe bicycling in your area? How about those drivers and their high opinions about bike lanes? At least we are not opinionated. we do love those listener comments, so please keep them coming. 2024, more miles, ride and commute to work, around town, better fitness, or simply enjoying the bike rides you take more by slowing down and smelling the roses. I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active, our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day, park that car or truck. ride your bicycle instead. You might just surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, Fran Storch, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment, or you can send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you want to contribute information, drop me an email. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!